Good evening, everyone. A very warm welcome to all for Embassy REIT's fourth quarter and full year FY 2024 earnings conference call. Currently, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Our speakers will address your questions during the question and answer session at the end. As a reminder, this conference call is being recorded. I would now like to introduce your host for today's conference, Ms. Sakshi Garg, Head of Investor Relations for Embassy REIT. Ma'am, you may begin.
Thank you. Welcome to the fourth quarter and full year FY 2024 earnings call for Embassy REIT. Embassy REIT released its financial results for the quarter and full year ended March 31, 2024, a short while back. As is our standard practice, we have placed our financial statements, earnings presentation discussing our performance, and a supplemental financial and operating data book in the investor section of our website at www.embassyofficeparks.com. As always, we would like to inform you that management may make certain comments on this call that one could deem forward-looking statements. Please be advised that the REIT's actual results may differ from these statements. Embassy REIT does not guarantee these statements or results and is not obliged to update them at any time. Specifically, any financial guidance and pro forma information that we provide on this call are management estimates based on certain assumptions and have not been subjected to any audit review or examination procedures, and do not reflect the impact of any proposed acquisitions or fundraisers. You're cautioned not to place undue reliance on such information, and there can be no assurance that we'll be able to achieve the same. Joining me today are Aravind Maiya, our CEO, Abhishek Agrawal, our CFO, and Ritwik Bhattacharjee, our CIO. We'll start off with brief remarks on our business and financial performance and then open the floor to questions. Over to you, Aravind.
Thank you, Sakshi. Good evening, and thank you all for joining us on the call today. We recently celebrated our 50th anniversary as a listed REIT, and I reflect back with pride as to what we have achieved in these years, notwithstanding a global pandemic that threatened the future of offices. Over these last 5 years, we grew our completed office portfolio by 47% to 36.5 million sq ft, added 619 keys to our total business ecosystem, increased our in-place rents by 38% from rupees 63 to 87 rupees per sq ft, expanded our occupier base from 165 to 255 leading companies, and our investor base from 4,000 to over 91,000 today. All these efforts have translated to annualized returns of over 11% to our unit holders, including almost 9,900 crores in distributions. We are delighted to see the continued acceptance of this product class in India and have doubled our efforts to promote its further awareness by partnering with the Indian REIT Association. Coming to our annual results, FY 2024 was an outstanding year. With 8.1 million sq ft of total leasing, 2.2 million sq ft of new office deliveries, and 7,200 crores of debt refinancing at leading rates, we surpassed our leasing guidance for the year and met our financial guidance. Abhishek will shortly take us through our next year's guidance numbers, but I'm pleased to announce that FY 2025 is going to be a year of growth, with expected year-over-year growth of 10% for NOI and 7% for DPU at the midpoint of our guidance range. On the macro front, global capability centers continue to lead the office space take-up in India. As per recent reports, 85 such centers were set up newly or expanded further in calendar year 2023, taking up around 25 million sq ft space and contributing to around 40% of the total office absorption in India. Not surprisingly, around 30% of these centers were set up in Bangalore, as the city continued to lead the charge in terms of office take-up globally. Even in this last quarter, Bangalore reported robust numbers with absorption outpacing supply and market rents recording a 3 to 5% year-over-year growth. With this backdrop, let me give you an annual wrap-up of our leasing performance. We leased our highest ever annual total of 8.1 million sq ft in FY 24 and exceeded our original 6 million sq ft leasing guidance by 35%. This 8.1 million sq ft was signed across 99 deals and included 4.4 million sq ft of new leases, 1.3 million sq ft of renewals, and 2.4 million sq ft of pre-commitments. GCCs contributed to over 65% of this total leasing, with the demand primarily driven by technology, BFSI, retail, and healthcare sectors. With 8 new GCC entrants this year, we now have 86 GCCs in our occupier roster of 255 corporates. Another highlight this year was the return of large deals. We signed 5 deals over 300,000 square feet during the year, highlighting the confidence many of these companies have regained regarding their India footprint. We also noted 3.3 million square feet of tenant exits during the year, primarily from IT services occupiers. Of this, we have already leased around 64% of the area vacated at 19% spreads and have a promising pipeline for the remainder. With this churn in the portfolio, while our occupancy levels dropped marginally during the year, our in-place rents went up by around 10%. We also met our occupancy guidance of 85% on the portfolio level and 87% on a same-store basis at year-end. Especially Bangalore and Mumbai, our two core cities which contribute to around 86% of REIT's value, continue to see an uptick in the occupancy levels with multiple demand tailwinds. Our Bangalore portfolio is now at 91% occupancy and Mumbai at 99% levels, with two properties in Mumbai 100% occupied. Our Pune and Noida markets continue to be soft, with around 70% occupancy levels and will take some more time to increase. On the SEZ front, we had applied for denotification of 1.1 million square feet under the old regulations across two buildings in Bangalore and Pune. We have already received the state NOC for the 0.8 million square feet building in Bangalore and are in the process of receiving the same for the 0.3 million square feet building in Pune. We expect to complete the denotification process for these two buildings by next quarter. We had also applied for demarcation of 1.1 million square feet area across Bangalore, Pune and Noida properties in January. We are in the process of computing the final duties payable as per the recent clarifications received from the Ministry of Commerce. We expect to complete the demarcation process for these spaces in the next 2 to 3 months. Moving to our development portfolio, we have received the occupancy certificate for the 0.7 million square feet Tower 1 in Embassy Oxygen in Noida. This new tower is around 30% leased and has also been successfully converted to non-processing area as per the SEZ demarcation process. Our current development pipeline now totals 6.1 million square feet, all of which is in Bangalore. Of this, 4.7 million square feet is scheduled for delivery over the next 2 years and is already over 70% pre-leased, along with expansion options for another 10%. This organic growth is a key lever of our NOI and DPU expansion over the next few years. Lastly, on our hotel portfolio continued to perform strongly with 64% occupancy in Q4, signifying a remarkable 900 basis points Q-on-Q uptick. With a 14% year-over-year ADR growth in FY24, our hotels delivered an annual EBITDA of 184 crores, much ahead of our guidance. Finally, we have recently announced the proposed acquisition of Embassy Splendid Tech Zone in Chennai and a proposed unit capital raise through an institutional placement, subject to unitholder approval and other conditions. We will keep you updated as we progress on that. With this, let me now hand over to Abhishek for our financial update.
Thank you, Arvind. And good evening, everyone. Let me begin with the financial highlights for FY24 and then provide some color on FY25. We met our FY24 guidance for NOI and DPU. Our revenue from operations stood at Rs. 3685 crores and NOI at Rs. 2982 crores, both up 8% year-on-year. This was mainly driven by new leases at high releasing spreads, contracted rent escalations, and a ramp-up in our hotel business, which was primarily offset by the impact of exits in our office portfolio. Our commercial office margins of 84% and hotel margins of over 45% continue to lead the industry. We have declared Q4 distributions of Rs. 495 crores or Rs. 5.22 per unit, representing a 100% payout ratio. With this, our total distributions for the year amounted to Rs. 21.33 per unit, down 2% year-on-year. This was primarily led by an increase in our interest costs and other working capital changes, mainly relating to security deposit refunds on tenant exits. Moving to updates on our balance sheet. We are focused on active debt management and optimization of our interest costs. During the year, rupees 4,100 crores of debt was due for maturity, which we successfully refinanced at an average rate of 8.2%. We also proactively refinanced an additional rupees 3,100 crores of debt with low interest rate instruments and achieved 103 basis point pro forma interest savings. We did these refinances through a combination of listed debentures, bank loans, and first-time commercial paper, all of which had rates locked in for less than 2 years on an average. We followed this tactical approach to benefit from any turn in the rate cycle. With this, we also expanded our debt investor base with 9 new entrants, including large public sector banks, private pension funds, domestic mutual funds, and insurers. Our net debt book now totals rupees 16,000 crores, implying a 29% leverage ratio and a 7.8% in-place cost. Also, less than 2% of our debt matures in the first half of the financial year, limiting any refinancing exposure. Moving to an update on our year-end portfolio valuation. As per the independent valuers assessment, our GAV is at rupees 55,000 crores and our NAV at rupees 401.59 per unit. This increase was mainly driven by our new deliveries, ongoing development capex, improved hotel performance, and an increase in the in-place rents as well as market rents for our Bangalore and Mumbai properties. Lastly, our outlook for FY25. We expect our NOI to be in the range of rupees 3215 to rupees 3345 crores and our distributions to be in the range of rupees 22.4 to rupees 23.1 per unit. At midpoint, this guidance implies a 10% growth in NOI and a 7% growth in DPU on a year-on-year basis. Our outlook is based on the following key assumptions for the full year. We expect 5.4 million square feet of total leasing. This comprises 3.8 million square feet of new lease-up, including new building deliveries scheduled for the year, 0.6 million square feet of renewals, and 1 million square feet of pre-commitments. We have 2.2 million square feet of lease expiries due for FY25, implying a total of 1.6 million square feet of likely exits during the year. We expect a year-end portfolio occupancy of 89%. However, this does not factor potential downside risks of any further portfolio optimization initiatives by an occupier in the IT services sector. We are confident of achieving contracted rent escalations of 13% on 7.7 million square feet leases during the year. We expect our hotel NOI to increase by around 10% year-on-year on the back of occupancy and ADR growth. Our solar park NOI may decline by around 20% year-on-year due to the revised government tariff. Finally, we expect a 15 to 18% year-on-year increase in our interest costs. This will be driven by the full year impact of refinancing, 2.2 million square feet of new deliveries in FY24, and the interest costs related to 2.5 million square feet of new deliveries scheduled for FY25. Lastly, I want to clarify that this guidance excludes the impact of the proposed ESTZ acquisition as well as any associated fundraise. To date, we have always delivered on our guidance numbers, and going forward, our single most focus remains on delivering growth to our unit holders year after year. With this, let's now move to Q&A, please.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on a touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. We would also request participants to restrict their questions to two per participant. If you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Puneet Gulati from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much, and congratulations on good outlook. My first question is on the demarcation part. Is the final guideline now available in writing, and are you confident that there is no risk of delays because of elections, etc.? You should be able to demarcate the area within a quarter.
You want to finish the second question, Puneet?
Yes. Second is on the leasing guidance of 5.4. How should we think of it? Will it likely be backward ended, or is it likely to be evenly spread out throughout the year?
Okay, sure. I'll let Abhishek take the first, and then I'll take the second one.
Yeah, so Puneet, on the demarcation, there was some clarity which was required on how to compute the duty. Now, the recent instruction that we have received, I think we have a landing of how to compute the duty. With this, we expect that for the buildings, it should be around, as we said, 400 rupees per square foot, and an additional on the common area infra, which should be around 40 to 50 rupees per square foot. We don't think there should be any delay now. We think now it should be 2 to 3 months, because this is the first time that they are doing, and post that it should be streamlined.
So this notification is now published?
Yes.
It came about 10 days back, Puneet, so it's out there in public domain.
Okay.
The final FAQ which gives all these answers.
Understood.
Yeah, just moving to your second question on leasing, it has three components. It's about 3.8 million square feet of new lease up, including the deliveries which are getting done this year.
Has about 1 million
square feet of pre-commitment and 0.6 of renewals. And in terms of timing, I would say probably the pre-commitments would be a little front-ended, and the new lease up of 3.8 will be more or less even through the year. That's the way we are looking at it as of now in the guidance.
Right. So basically, if you want to think about it, there will be on your 5.6 million square feet current vacant area, about 1.4 is likely to be expiry, and 2.3 should be new area addition. And roughly for the existing portfolio, only 4.4 million square feet should be new leasing. So that should still leave around 5 million square feet area vacant at the end of the year.
Just a couple of clarifications. 5.6 is correct. 1.6
is the expected exits during the year.
Okay.
And 2.5 million square feet is the expected completions. Of this 2.5, around 1.2 plus 0.6, 1.8 is already pre-leased.
Okay.
Right. So it has only 0.7 left to be leased.
Right.
Right. Which we kind of have factored that we will lease, because that's enough. Prime Asset Embassy Tech Village. So that's already included in the 3.8 million new lease up number which you've given.
Sorry, this 1.8 is already pre-leased or will it? Okay.
So 1.8 is already pre-leased, which is nothing but 1.2 million square feet of pre-lease done in Parcel 8 of Embassy Tech Village.
Yeah.
And 0.6 million is M3 Block B, which is fully pre-leased, which means what is left is around 0.7 million square feet in Parcel 8 of ETV, which gets delivered in phases between October to December 24. And we believe in our guidance, the balance 0.7 also gets leased up by March 25. And this 0.7 is a part of 3.8.
Is a part of 5.4, right, which is a full lease up.
Yeah,
part of 3.8 and part of 5.4.
And, the numbers which have been taken to reach that 89% year-end occupancy, what remains as vacant area at March 25 is around 4.5 million.
4.5. Understood. That's great. That's all from my side. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you, Puneet.
Thank you. The next question is from Mohit Agarwal from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on giving good outlook and guidance. My first question is on the new leasing 3.8 million square feet guidance. If you could give some color on which are the assets where this is coming from, or if you could give Bangalore, non-Bangalore, and does it include the entire 1.1 million square feet area that we had applied for demarcation? So some color on that will be useful.
Anything else, Mohit, or this is the only question?
My second question is basically on the 2.2 million square feet of expiries next year. So we've seen this in the last year that, you know, from the time that initially, you know, the expiries have gone up during the year. So what gives you the confidence that, you know, I think Abhishek did mention that there is a risk of expiries, you know, in that 89%. But what is the kind of visibility you are seeing? Are you in touch with your tenants and are they giving you confidence that this 2.2 million expiries won't substantially change during the year?
Sure. First is on this 3.8 million square feet. I mean, when you look at it, if I can go city by city, Mumbai, there's nothing left for us to lease because it's 99% occupied. The big city is Bangalore, which year-end was 91% occupancy, but a substantial portion of the 1.6 million of exits is in Bangalore, and also a large portion of that is in Manyatar. Obviously, a large portion of this leasing guidance comes from Bangalore and also from Manyatar. I mean, roughly you could say almost 60% of the leasing guidance is coming from Bangalore, and in that also a substantial majority is Manyatar. And then the balance is, you know, a little bit in Pune, around 1 million square feet in Pune and around 500,000 in Noida. That's the broad split we are looking at of this leasing guidance.
That's the first part.
And second, in terms of expiries, I think that's a fair question considering what's happened in FY24. But the way we're looking at it is, if you see FY24, a significant portion of expiries, Mohit, was coming from IT services. We had big exits in the form of Cognizant, TCS, and Accenture. Now, as we speak, IT services in the entire portfolio is just around 11%. A lot of exits have already happened, and the one I would say from a commercial real estate point of view, one sector which has not necessarily been doing well for us is IT services. So the risk has already become minimal. Having said that, Abhishek has rightly called out one specific tenant where it's still a little uncertain and could be a downside risk for us. But beyond that, while we've seen this happen over the last, say, 5, 6, 7 years, there will always be some additional expiries coming in, but we don't expect that to be substantial. That's the sense we have as we speak.
Okay. Can you quantify the downside? Maybe I missed that number, but the one tenant that you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, we've not really quantified that, Mohit, but I would like to answer that is, if this tenant were to take a different decision during the course of the year, we believe we have factored the downside risk in terms of distributions already in the range. But from an occupancy point of view, it could have an implication of 1.5 to 2% downside.
Okay, this is very clear. Just one last question. This is for Abhishek. So SEBI, you know, in December, SEBI had put out a revised NDCF framework, and that now kicks in from 1st of April 2024. Just trying to understand that, firstly, has that been incorporated in our estimates, and also what kind of impact, if any, it would have had, and will it make the distribution on a quarter-on-quarter basis more volatile?
So, Mohit, two things. One, we have factored that because actually there is no impact. The revised NDCF that we have computed is based on the revised NDCF format only while computing for the guidance. It will not make any volatility come in because of just change of the presentation, the way SEBI has put out. For us, it's just change of presentation. We don't start with the PAT, we start with the CFO.
Okay, understood. That's all from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from Kunal Tayal from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Great, thank you. I have three questions if, you know, the third one is allowed. The, you know, first one is just looking at your walk down from NOI growth of 10% to about 7% at a DPU level. I get the, you know, interest expense part of it, but I was just wondering that as security deposits worked against distribution in the past 2 years when your occupancy was going down, should it not have worked in favor now when it is expected to go up during FY25? So that's sort of the first question. Second, I just wanted to get some more color on this annual escalation contributing to about 3% growth this year. And, you know, we were looking at data that even next 2 or 3 years, it's more in the handle of 3%. So, I mean, we've often thought of it as being in the range of 4.5%, 5%. You know, any peculiar reasons as to why, you know, it's looking at 3% for the next few years? And then, you know, finally, just on that NOI range of 7.5% to 12.5%, fair to assume that the low end would account for the exit risk related to the IT services tenant you highlighted? Thank you.
So Kunal, I'll take these questions one by one. On the escalations which you're talking about, I think the way it is some of these tenants have 5% escalation every year, and most of the tenants standard 15% every year. So that pulls down the average to around 13 to 14% every year. But if you see effectively, it is 15% largely. On the first question which you had, which is I think related to guidance, where the NOI to NDCF, NOI is basically increasing by 10% while NDCF is not. The reason, yes, what you rightly said, there is a big impact of interest which is coming out, as I mentioned, because of the deliveries and the full year impact of past deliveries and refinancing. Also, there is a lot of non-cash item, non-cash NOI, which will also get generated during the next year because of all leasing that we guidance that we provided. Also, this current year we had a huge amount of other income which came out because of insurance receipt and receipt of scrap sale income, which is not expected because this is one-off, so which is not expected to be as high next year. On the NOI range for the guidance, I think we have considered in the lower end, we have considered the impact of that one tenant if it exits fully.
And just, Kunal, if you can expand a little bit more on the first one, what's happening is, yeah, the security deposits is playing out positively, but there's also a lot of, you know, straight-lined or non-cash revenue which is included in the 10% upside, which does not necessarily flow down to distribution for FY25, but will flow to 26. So that kind of somewhere offsets each other. That's why you don't see the full impact flowing through.
Got it. Clear. Just if I might, there's one follow-up on the escalations bit. I get the difference between 5% annual and 15% over 3 years, but if this is happening for 3 to 4 years on the trot, you know, that feels a bit weird. I mean, you know, do understand if 1 year it is more like 3% and, you know, next year it goes up to 6%. So, or is it more a case that, you know, we just had one of these prior years where the big escalations came in and next 2 years is more like catch up now?
You know, we can come back on this, Kunal. We don't see any exceptions to our 15% escalation. I mean, there are just very, very few where it might be a little lower, but we can probably pick this offline.
Okay, sure. That would be helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Praveen Chaudhary from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much for the presentation. I have two questions. One was about EBITDA margin, which went up from 79% to 81% between FY23 and FY24. I just want to understand, as you continue to grow, how high can this go, or have we reached the peak? That's the first question. The second question was this 10% and 7% guidance that you have given in NOI and DPU growth. If I were to add the Chennai acquisition and QIP, for which you had presented before that it is 2.9 to 2.2% accretive. Would it change the number from 10 and 7 to, let's say, 13 and 10, or not really? Thank you.
Praveen, I'll take the second one first. We are constrained from answering that, considering all the things which you're working on. So probably I'll just skip that question, and I'll direct Abhishek to answer the first one on the EBITDA margin. Abhishek, over to you.
Yeah, so Praveen, what has actually happened is last year we had certain expenses which we had done during the last quarter for the hotels. That's the reason why EBITDA margin 17% last year and 81% this year. I think the sustainable, which we expect, is between 80 to 81% only.
Understood. Understood. If I may add one more question. You were explaining this question between 10% and 7% difference. For FY24 Q4, just for Q4 specifically, would you be able to give us a little bit more, the difference between 13% NOI growth and 7% decline in DPU growth? What portion of that decline was because of interest expense, which we understand, and what were some of the other things that you mentioned, insurance, etc.?
Yeah. So, Praveen, there are a couple of reasons where due to which this declined. One is obviously the interest. Second was the other income, which is scrap income and insurance income, which was, again, lower by 10, 12 crores. And the third component was the working capital change, which was significantly lower this year, but this quarter also, because of the security deposit payment.
And also there were some collections last year, right, Abhishek, which happened one time.
So because of which the working capital went down. And the last component, around 15 crores, was because of the non-cash NOI.
Understood. Thank you very much. I mean, again, the question was asked before, but we are still wondering, some of these things should reverse, except for interest expense. Hopefully that should have helped me in FY25 or FY26. If it was reversed.
So yes, Praveen, has the...
Praveen, sorry, you're barely audible.
I'm sorry. I was just saying, this question was asked before, but some of these things that we saw in fourth quarter, which declined versus FY23, some of that will reverse. And I'm just wondering, from a quarterly perspective or half-yearly perspective or annual perspective, which year or quarter in FY25 or FY26 we could see the benefit of, you know, DPU versus NOI.
So the answer to that, Praveen, is we are already seeing the benefit of that in FY25, where, you know, because of all the lease-ups done last year, including pre-leasing, plus the lease-ups done later part of the year and the guided lease-up for FY25, all of which will lead to positive working capital in the form of security deposit. All of that is baked in already. Having said that, the two negatives in the FY25 guidance is a large part of it is because of interest, where Abhishek has said that the interest will increase by 15 to 18%. Two reasons, rate increases as well as deliveries. And second is a significant portion of FY25 lease ups will not result in cash revenue next year, right? That somewhere kind of becomes much smaller cash increase in NOI. So just to answer it in one line again, we already, the guidance already bakes in the positive working capital in FY25.
Yeah, that's very clear. And I'm sorry that we are asking the same question. This is the key question. So thank you for explaining it.
No problem. No problem.
Thank you. The next question is from Pritesh Seth from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just, you know, clarification on the new leasing part, 3.8 million square feet. Does that include full new developments that are coming up, which is 2.5 million square feet, or only the unleased portion, which is where we are confident that we would be able to lease that in this year itself?
So why don't I Lupin Amit Shetty, our head of leasing, over here to answer this question. Amit, over to you.
Yeah, I mean, the 3.8 is, the answer is yes.
So it includes 2.5 million square feet full that is coming up for, you know, delivery this year.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. And second, again, on the, you know, NOI to NDCF flow, you know, how much working capital change, whatever positive, negative, you would have assumed in that number, if you can quantify that for me.
We'll skip quantifying that exact number, Pritesh.
Okay. And on the interest part, that, you know, 18% kind of increase that has been assumed, you have mentioned about two components. One is interest rate increase. Does that also include the refinancing that we'll do in the second half, starting of the second half this year of 2,000 odd crore refinance that is due?
Yes, Pritesh, we have included that also. So it includes the full year impact of refinancing, which we did last year.
Yeah.
The impact of refinancing, which we will do in the next year. The full year impact of deliveries, which we had done during the last year. And the impact of deliveries, which we will do in FY25. So all four impacts considered.
Sure. And, you know, part of your capital raise that you will be doing is also to repay some of the debt, right? So if... you know, that happens, whether that interest benefit is being considered in this number, and no, right?
No, Pritesh. As I mentioned in my prepared remarks, this guidance doesn't take any impact of any ESTZ acquisition or fundraises.
Sure, sure. Got it. That's helpful. That is from my side. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Piyush Mittal from Kotak Alternate Asset Managers Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Congratulations on the results. I have two questions. The first one on the acquisition that we're doing. For the development piece, I understand we're expecting a 10% yield on the asset, the under construction piece. Similarly, when we had done the acquisition of Embassy Business Hub last year, we had done the acquisition at 12% yield on cost for the under construction piece. The first question is around, just wanted to understand why are we valuing them at different yields? That's number one. And number two is, from an equity fundraise standpoint, how do we evaluate between various avenues that we may have, say, a rights issue or a QIP? How do we choose between what we want to go ahead for, with?
Yeah, let me, it's Hrithik. Let me take the second one first. The only actual real avenue available for us right now from an equity perspective is a QIP. You could think about also maybe potentially doing a pref, but really, I think at this point in time, you know, given where our stock is, given the re-rating in the stock price and the fact that we have a public float, we thought it was just, you know, in our interest to go out there and continue to expand the free float to a level which allows sort of your new other sort of pedigree blue chip investors to also take advantage alongside our existing holders. So, you know, the capital markets, like I've always said, continue to evolve for us. I don't think sort of a rights issue at this point in time, you know, has the same sort of cachet it does maybe in other jurisdictions. So that's not an avenue that we really were looking to explore. So I think, you know, the QIP route was probably the best one. Secondly, I think just on yields on cost between Chennai and Hub, I think eight are different markets. There's different, obviously, sort of construction costs as well as sort of the rents in there. So I think at this point in time, given that we are looking at Chennai, we have sort of, you know, 61% of sort of the asset by value, but if you take on the whole construction cost, that rent sort of obviously comes, the yield on cost number sort of just tops out at roughly sort of 10% at this point.
And just one additional point on that is Hub was a, you can say, a little shorter construction time frame versus S&P is a little longer. So, you know, the IDC also plays a part in the yield on cost.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhinav Sinha from Jefferies India. Please go ahead.
Hi. In the beginning, you alluded to some improvement in rentals in Bangalore. So can you slightly elaborate on that? I mean, are we expecting this trend to strengthen in FY25 or, you know, what are you seeing on ground there?
This is Amit here. So the rentals in Bangalore is growing stronger, you know, over the last four quarters, if I have to say. The rentals, especially in micro markets that we own and operate, are seeing upwards of about 5 to 8% year on year. Also, the relevant supply in Bangalore is also shrinking, given some of the larger deals that have been completed in the marketplace. And also the fact that, you know, some of the developers are moving towards resi given the high resi demand in the city as well. So this kind of puts us in a very, very strong position on the rental side.
And so similarly for Manyata and ETV, when you are doing these pre-commitments, particularly for Manyata, how far are we above the market?
So typically we are getting about anywhere between 5 to 8% above market as a premium.
Okay, so we are leasing slightly north of 100 rupees there roughly today.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's helpful. So secondly, I mean, quick question on the transaction which we are looking at. What are the timelines, if you can help us with that now, for both the acquisition as well as the follow-on?
Well, we put out the EN notice on April 6th. We are doing the unit holder vote on Monday, which is April 29th. And then really, I think the fundraise is a factor of sort of market conditions and going out there and seeing what's optimal post that, both an appropriate period of between the unit holder vote and us actually executing this. So think about something, you know, you've got sort of close to sort of a few weeks after the unit holder vote to do this.
And the asset acquisition is simultaneous or that will take some more time?
No, we'd effectively look to close everything by pretty much in a couple of months from now.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take that as the last question. On behalf of Embassy REIT, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.